Sure is. All right. Thank you, Lord, for another great evening. We praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in our hearts, getting us prepared for this great awakening that's fixing to happen. And we praise you, Father. Lord, I just ask and I pray right now that you melt our hearts into one by your Holy Spirit. And I know, Lord, that you know the needs of everybody here in front of us. And I pray that your word meets every one of them. And may your children know what their God has for them awaiting. And we thank you for it, Father. And what they can expect from you to do for them, Lord. Everything that they ask, Lord, we know that you're going to do it for them. Because your word says it. We always live by your promises, Father. And the promises that we latch on to and believe by faith and endure, we know that it's going to happen. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's not going to be any exception. We have an open heaven. And we praise you, Father, that tonight is the night. And we thank you, Lord, for all that your gifts are in operation right here in this fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, let our eyes and our ears be led by your Spirit, Lord. Let it be opened up to the revelations that you have for us tonight and the things that we talk about. And Lord, if you don't want us to talk about the things we talk about, tell us to talk about something else. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Bless everybody here, Lord. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you, I got a little testimony. This morning, well, about noon, so David and I were sitting out on the porch, and we decided that we're tired of this rain, so we went to praying against it, commanding it to quit. I guess it was about 10 o'clock, praying that it would quit, and it quit, and we've had sunshine all day. Now, we're believing that it's going to last this way for a week. We commanded all this rain to go around around this region in the name of Jesus, and it's going to, because we declared it, and we decreed it, and we know that God listens, right? And we know that y'all going to believe with us. And so, Anna and Obadiah and Elisha can swing out there in the backyard during the day when it's sun's a shining. And little Theo can catch his bass. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that's a good start. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, June, go ahead.
This prayer is actually for all of us, but I'm saying especially for me, because I know that justice is going to be done, but I'm getting really impatient, you know, like I'm questioning, like, is it going to happen in a week, 2 weeks, or a month? So I know that I'm grieving the Holy Spirit with this attitude. I don't want to have this attitude, but it's hard for me to shake off at this point. I expect it might be pretty common among the rest of you, but maybe not so. But again, I'll say a prayer just in case you're like me. I want to thank the Lord for his patience with all of us. And it grieves me to think that I'm grieving you, Holy Spirit. I'm trying to be above it, but I just find myself throughout the day focusing too much on when it's going to happen. And I want to cast down, I don't know exactly what you would call it in the way of a spirit, whatever. Maybe it's just my humanity, but I know the Lord is growing each one of us. He's strengthening us to be of right character. And I just repent of it, Lord. And I'm asking the Lord to help me and anybody else who's finding themselves too focused on the wrong things. And I seal this in the blood of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for letting us look back 2,000 years ago when it's already happened. And all we have to do is endure until we know that it's already done. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to walk and talk And I'm praying that for myself too, Lord, because there's things that I'm looking for too, looking past. And I thank you, Father, that we all will endure in our faith to the end, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father, for placing it in us to walk like it's already done, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Whew, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good prayer, Jim. I know we all struggle with sometimes with that. At least I do at times. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Greg, with your hand up.
I'm just ready for when the electricity goes down. I've got a hand anyway. I always want to look, two things. I'll echo that prayer because it's kind of difficult when we exist in linear time. So you're not alone there, June. But the other thing as well, and this is my little girl, my little 20-year-old girl, is in exams again, and she has one in about 50 minutes. So I have promised her that I would pray for her. So I'll do it in here if that's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Lord, in the whole scheme of things in my mind, I guess this exam is not the most important thing in Gage's life, but it is important right now. So, Lord, I want to ask, first of all, that you would give her all the protection that she needs on her way there, on her way to back, location, who knows these days. But, Lord, as the, as the scripture I shared with her last night as she was messaging me about cramming, I just want to speak this over her, is that from Jeremiah, where you said, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. And Lord, I know this wasn't quite written around the structure of business entities or legal, the stuff she's studying. But this much I want, Lord, that you would surprise her and show yourself real to her, even in an exam. And that'll do for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering his prayers in Jesus' name. She's going to be protected. Give her wisdom too, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? How about a testimony, a praise report? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
We prayed on Saturday and about the machine that I have to run, and it seemed to be running really good. I'm half done. I'm much farther ahead than I thought I would be on this machine that's over 20 years old. So looks like everything's working.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let that machine work better than a new one. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Malcolm.
I just wanted to share a word from the Lord I got from, I opened up my Bible and tried to open it up in a way I closed my eyes so I couldn't see and stuck my hand down on a somewhere in the Bible and read it. So do you mind if I read the verse?
No, go ahead.
Yes, it's 2 Chronicles 29, verse 11. And I really feel like it was from the Lord. It said, my sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. If So the context of this is Hezekiah starts to reign over Judah, and then there's this revival under Hezekiah. So anyway, I really thought that was quite significant.
Amen. Amen. Andrew, Dave Nelson is asking you if the parts that you need is duct tape and baling wire. Keep that machine going.
Oh no, the hockey tape's already on it.
Okay. It's the grace of God keeping that old thing going. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy. Most people unmute before they start talking. Reckon you could do that?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I went to add to what June was saying. I can totally relate to what she's talking about. I've been pretty good about not looking at news, but last night I looked at too much of it. And made me anxious, but the combination of it, you know, I think, you know, I was like, okay, Lord, I had to repent. I'm like, Lord, you know, once again, the conclusion is only by you is all this stuff going to get straightened out, you know? And, you know, once again, help me to have patience. And I got up this morning and I didn't, you know, kind of like didn't quite feel very good. And as the day went, I just got tensed up in my back and neck and muscles and stuff. And just, you know, got one of those headaches, and as I opened the door for it. And so anyway, so thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your discipline, Lord. And Lord, I just want to reiterate what June said, you know, help us to just live day to day and not, we know what's coming, but Lord, help us, give us the gift to be patient, Lord, and know that our faith is being tried, and it works patience in us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for working all things together for our good. And that's just growing in you more and more, Lord. Amen.
Isaac, go ahead. Was I muted? Julie, you put that on me. Go ahead, Isaac.
Alrighty. I gave a testimony down in at UVM this last weekend. I wanted to share it with you guys because y'all all believed and prayed with me. And this time I think I'll keep it together, but I think it was last week we prayed about my AC unit because my refrigeration lines are frozen, and I've had it. This unit's like 20 years old. I've messed with it a lot, and I was like, gosh, I just don't have the time to be really troubleshooting it because I don't have much time at home. And anyways, we prayed. And so, you know, the Lord did my troubleshooting for me. Basically, turned it on, and it's cold, and it's putting out cold air. And it didn't even have any air going through the vents. That's how bad froze up it was. Completely froze up the A coil. And I was thinking, man, I hope it's not a leak because I have this Freon they don't even make anymore. It's just so expensive. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that God's even mindful, you know, even thinks enough, thinks about me to where I can spend time with my family. And it just really blows my mind. What an awesome prayer. And I really wanted to thank everybody and thank you for your prayers. And yeah, and if I may also, I mean, I just, right before I got on here, I want to share a little word the Lord gave me, and it's kind of exciting. It's not, it's, y'all probably already know, but it's good for me. I was just reading something out of Psalms, and it's Psalms 80. Y'all may know what I'm talking about, but in verse 8, it says, "Thou brought us a vine out of Egypt." And I was thinking about that. You know, sometimes it takes me a while. I mean, it just dawned on me, well, it's Jesus, because he is the true vine. In John 15:1, that's what it says. In Matthew 2:13, they went into Egypt. You know, Joseph took him into Egypt. And then if you read down in verse 15, it's just a lot about Jesus. It says, "And thy stock, which thy right hand planted in the branch." And if you look in the footnotes, it's like number 11, is son. "And the son that thou madest strong for thyself, and the branch that thou madest strong for himself." And that was just cool. And he even goes on to talk about the Son of Man. And I guess the reason that, that's a praise report, I tell you that, because they're just faith builders. So many hundreds of years or thousands of years, I'm not sure how back far it goes. Man, they knew of Jesus then. They prophesied Jesus. And it's just amazing. And so two testimonies there. Real excited. You know, I love how the Lord builds, is building our faith. And thank you guys for also helping.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Isaac. All right. We need to pray for, let's see here, let me get this back up here. Need to pray for Angelica's cousin, Mary. She's got a cousin that has been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver and kidney issues. She's born again, but she doesn't understand about healing. Well, praise God, she's fixing to, okay? Y'all believe with me for Mary, okay? Lord, you know that Mary came out of some kind of religion that probably didn't believe in healing. But Lord, I'm sure that Angelica has talked to her and told her about it. And Lord, we're just believing you more than we're believing anything. And in the name of Jesus right now, we come against this spirit of infirmity on Mary. We command that cirrhosis of liver to go from her. We command any kind of kidney problems to leave her body now in the name of Jesus. We command every spirit of infirmity out of her body in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that every cell, every muscle, every organ in her body is healed by the stripes and blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you are going to get the glory, not the doctors, not her, but you, Lord, are going to get the glory. And Mary is going to come out of there singing the praises of God for her healing. And we praise you for it, Father, what you're doing with Mary right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your angels that are on the job right now. We cast down every curse spoken against her by the doctors and nurses in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that she is healed and delivered in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, because it is done. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, that Mary is healed in Jesus' name. We believe it and we thank you for it, Father. For her, we stand in faith with her. Amen. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Carol, is that you coming on again?
Yes, because my phone doesn't show everybody, so I figured I'd go in the computer to see everybody. I'm just okay. New at this Zoom thing, so yes, I'm there twice. Cell and computer.
Okay, that's all right. That's fine.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request or a praise report? Yeah, Pat.
I just wanted to add on to that prayer for Mary. Father, we just looked at this a spirit of unbelief or believing the wrong thing about Jesus. We bind that spirit right now in Mary in the name of Jesus, and we set her free in the light of your word, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that. Just pour in your grace, pour in your light into her eyes and open up her understanding and allow her to receive healing. Allow her to receive belief, believing and hope. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And we trust you for authorizing that faith in Mary, even today, even this day, in Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Theo.
Yesterday, I was supposed to fly out to South Bend, Indiana, and I got stranded in Kansas City. Mechanical issues, the wings fell off, I don't know, something. And they ended up giving me a hotel room, and I said, okay, that's fine. You know, Lana had gone home with the boys, and it was fine. But I went to get some food at the restaurant there, and I ran into a young man, probably in his early 20s. Well, anyway, he started talking to me, and it was kind of weird. It felt really weird, but I instantly kind of diverted the topic to faith, and he said he had walked away from faith, and now he's more concerned with, he said a weird word, but it was water and elemental stuff, I guess. So I got to witness to him, and I was like, well, thank you, Lord, for canceling that flight. And so I just want to pray for Nathan. Father, you see this young gentleman here. I felt some really bad vibes coming off of him. I don't know what he's carrying with him. But I want to bind up any demons that have attached themselves to him and this new age stuff with the elemental beliefs, and probably has some kind of druidic background there. But I want to bind all those demons up and cast them out. And Father, you bring him back to the faith he walked away from. You show him, Father, that you are still acting today through your saints, that you are alive and that you have things to do in his life. And I thank you for having me meet him yesterday. And also, I had another delay today in Chicago. And I was like, wow, what's going on? And they just a lot of plane maintenance. It's like nobody worked on the planes whenever it was shut down. They just let them sit or something. But now that they're running, they're breaking down. Anyway, so I got to sit next to this older lady. She was retired, and she was following around this Christian band. And so I got to witness with her, and she received everything we had talked about. She believes that the zombies are coming and that she needs to get a gun and all this and that. And I was like, you know, our weapons aren't carnal. You know, our battle's not with flesh and blood. And if you want to stock up food and guns, you know, it might last you a couple of days, but it's not going to change anything. So I got to witness with her about the things we talk about and how to live by faith and the manna from heaven that comes in the wilderness. And so she received everything. And Father, I just want to lift Mary up to you. She's alone in this world with just her pets and her grown daughter. She sounds like she's believing everything that we discussed. She sounds like she's full gospel. Just she has nobody to share it with. Nobody that has this viewpoint of living by faith and trusting that you will provide, and that we don't have to worry about tomorrow, and anxiety is not part of who we are. We're anxious for nothing. Father, you just bring someone to her that, you know, or have her find UBM or a group like us so that she can have some fellow believers with her and lift her up, Father, and bring her to the full gospel and show her your true wisdom and power. And I thank you, Father, for having all these delays in my schedule that I could just meet and talk with people. And I thank you for that, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Open up their eyes and ears of understanding, Lord, into the gospel, the true gospel. Amen. That's awesome. Yeah. So everything's falling apart in the airport business, huh?
Basically, it's a mess.
Oh, my. All right, Malcolm, go ahead.
Remember, I don't know if some of you might have remembered, we prayed for some friends of mine on Thursday for this lady who's having heart problems, has been having heart problems for quite some time. My mother ended up calling her. I called my mother and just told her that, you know, a little bit of what was going on. And so my mother got upset and called her up right away. And she was just as, this is the next day after we prayed, she was just as energetic as could be on the phone. And then I got a text from her daughter Sunday, and which I thought was pretty exciting. She said, "Mom says to let you know that since she heard you and your friends were praying for her, she has been able to bend over without being dizzy and having her heart active for hours or for the rest of the day. She wants you to know this is a big improvement, so thanks." So I just want to let you guys know, and I just want to continue to pray for her and the whole family. They're all getting together right now. About probably half of them have had the COVID shot. So I'm trying to help the daughter there. I'm trying to very carefully talk about the real good news. And, you know, when you start talking about this kind of thing with some people, you know, all the flags go up, you know. Most people are, you know, be it according to thy will, God, heal me if it's your will type stuff. So as all of us know, that's pretty powerless and defeats the gospel. So I am excited. I just wanted to mention that to everybody. And Lord, thank you for continuing on with this, with these folks. And I pray that you will help me. You'll guide me to be discreet what I say. And I pray their hearts will be open to you. And I come against the religious spirits and the other spirits that are trying to block your truth coming into that family. And I pray that also if they get together this week, Lord, that you will direct things. I'm just asking for a breakthrough from your spirit in their family. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else?
Michael?
Yes.
I'd like to pray.
Not only
for Malcolm's prayers for those families, but the other ones that the prayers that I've been hearing, Lord, I just lift up all these ones that are don't know you very well and need to know you more. Just put a hunger and thirst in their hearts for your righteousness. Just bring them to desire you and want to know you more. That they would just follow after you and just be burning in spirit to want more of you. Just to move them and draw them by your spirit. Break up any fallow ground in their hearts so they can receive more of your truth, more of your life and your way, Lord. Just send the laborers or they need to be able to touch you and just help that those laborers to be able to water and plant. You would have the increase in their hearts, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the angels that cover them, protect them, even give, help them to see you in dreams and visions, or any way that they can, that you can reach them, Father, more for you. And thank you, Father, for those hedge of protections around each and every one of them, so that no evil will come on them, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
I'd like to pray for someone.
Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. When Isaac mentioned about the, so glad for the opportunity to be working from home. That is so good. And my heart is real heavy for my daughter and son-in-law's family. He works from home now, and when I was staying there visiting in Illinois, it's so sad because it's constant work at home. Constant work at home. There's no time with the family. There's no Bible reading. There's no meat eating to get meals together. It's just constant stress of the job of getting these claims in and talking to those he needs to talk to, and it's stressful, and it really saddens my heart to see that like that. And I think so many Christian families are like this. They're just so wanting to make it out there. They don't understand. They don't see what they have, the opportunity they have with their families. You know, if they're working at home from home, that's such a blessing. They should really utilize that. And I want to pray for them, and just pray for families like that, and just pray for, I just see how it's coming out so strong, how such a lack of faith in Christian homes. And we used to be that way, you know, we used to depend on things of the world. So I'm not judging, but it's sad to, probably people thought it was sad in our family if we didn't live by, you know, lacked faith, but just trusting in things of the world because you're used to that. And so, but saddens the heart of God. I think it's really heavy on his heart that those who are calling themselves Christians, they're doing the church thing and doing all these good works and coming together with other believers and on the worship team, but they have no faith. And you try to share faith and they don't see it. They, oh, but God gave us this and God gave us that. And it's like, they don't see it. And I think it really saddens God's heart. And I think he wants us to really be in prayer a lot for his people to come into this faith. We would understand. I would understand it more. I would get stronger in my faith and bold in my faith. So I want to just pray that too, as I also pray for my daughter's family. There's strife constantly because of the pressure of getting ahead. And God's people need to have peace. And it's sad to not see peace in a Christian home. So Lord, I just pray, Lord, for my son-in-law, Lord, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just bring conviction to him, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up somebody in their midst, God, among the people that he's with and does have a relationship with in you, Lord, that someone will be able to say the right words to him, God, that he would listen, and Lord, that he would take the opportunity that he's got there to be with his family, Lord, and to train them in your ways. Lord, that I know that if we do the right thing and put you first, that all this strife will cease, God, because you'll be first and the family can be at rest. Lord, I pray that you just reveal this to them, God. Just bring them together as a family, Lord, and cause them to just be that man of the house you want them to be. And so many men just think that they're there to just provide, and they got to work to provide. And Lord, I just thank you for those who have the opportunity to be at home and are using it properly, Lord. Spending time with their families, God, and input into their children and ministering to their wives and giving their wives the word, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would do this in his life and in their family, Lord. That you would set my daughter free from going after her part and what she wants to do as a job, Lord. And Lord, that there'd be rest in this family, Lord, And they would not be a non-functioning family, but a functioning family in you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that for your people, God, that you would just do a mighty work all over, Father.
Yes.
That you would just zero in on the hearts and lives of your people, Father. Mm-hmm. For faith, God, they would understand what faith is, Lord. They would see. I thank you, Lord, that you would bring people into their lives that express faith and that would give them something to think about, Lord. I thank you that those that I've shared with, Lord, would ponder, Lord, faith and trusting in you, Lord. I thank you that you revealed it to us, God. It's all you, Lord. It's not us. It's you, Lord God. We thank you that mm-hmm. you're revealing to us what faith is and how to trust in you and what you expect from your people, Lord. And I just mm-hmm. pray, Lord, that you would set your people free from the works, Lord, and trusting in the arm of flesh and trusting in this world, Lord, that your heart would rejoice over so many of these families instead of be saddened and grieved, Lord. And we thank mm-hmm. you, God, that your heart will rejoice. We thank you that you're going to answer prayers as you move through families, Lord, and increase their faith, Lord. And you teach them, God, get them in the word to see what your word is saying, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That makes me think of the song. I had a song on before I came over Debbie's. I had this song going through my head and I still have it. But it's a song the Lord given me a few years back, but it was, I would be singing it to the Lord, but I feel like I need to sing it for all of us, for all my brothers and sisters all over, because it just fits the fit. So, Jesus, change our hearts to be more like you. Jesus, change our hearts to follow you. We need you more and more each day. Jesus, show us all of your ways. Jesus, lead us to the straight and narrow. Lord, we need you always. Jesus, change our hearts to be more like you. Jesus, change our hearts to follow you. Jesus, change our hearts to be more like you, to be more like you, to be more like you, my King.
Amen. That's my prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for answering it too. In Jesus' name. Uh-oh. Here comes a newbie. Hey, Chuck, what's going on, Winnie? Uh-huh. Can you hear us? Okay. Angelica, you might call him and ask him what's going on because we can't hear him. We see something. I see a corner, I think. And we've gone out. Okay. All right. Okay, who's next? Yeah, probably two. Probably just one listen, that's fine. Okay, anybody else got something they'd like to share? Okay, then. What we had agreed to talk about tonight is the mark of the beast. And how many of you have listened to David's audios and read the hidden manna on the mark of the beast? So most of you know, if you've done that, that he talks about the spiritual mark of the beast and the spiritual mark of God. And so let's go into that first. Does anybody want to explain what he's talking about there? Because I'm going to let y'all do it. Thank you, Pat.
I think I've listened to so many of his of David's messages and related to that. I guess what I'm thinking is what hit me was the mark of God is the character imprinted on our heart as we believe his word and walk in it. And the result of believing his word and by faith walking in it, that word becomes life and becomes that mark or that image becomes stamped upon our soul. That which is in our spirit comes out through our soul and is manifested through our work. So it is taking his word and walking it out through the power of the Holy Spirit, that word again becomes an image or a mark upon our life, in our life. So contrary wise, take the mark of the beast is taking the words of all that is not God or anti-God and choosing rather to believe those words and believing those words and walking them out in obedience, and it becomes an image on our soul coming through our spirit that has turned from God and has accepted all the words or the word which opposes God, and that becomes an image on our soul, which is displayed to the world. So that's kind of, I guess, kind of the foundation of what I'm thinking the mark of the beast is, and the mark of those that have the word of God written across their forehead as well. So that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, that's a very simple answer, and that will give us a good foundation to get started. Go ahead, Dave.
You know, I one of the things I was impressed with when we listened to David talk about the mark of the beast, and it also brings me into understanding or trying to understand more about what it is to be born again versus those that are say they're born again but never are. And so I mean, because part of this time, the mark of the beast, you're going to be seeing that great falling away happen too in the Christian church, and that great falling away is from those people that call themselves Christians, but when it now comes time that God's going to require them to act on what they say they are versus trying to save their own lives, they're going to save their own life. They're going to run after the world to be their savior. And they're not going to believe God can get them through these times. And this is supposed to be a great trial, Jacob's trouble for all that call on the name of the Lord. This is supposed to be that time. And also what Pat was pointing out is those that are in the word and assimilate to that word and get that image or that icon imprinted in their heart and on their lives, and they're walking in that newness of life, that image, that born again image of Christ and that's who they are, they're not going to step aside or walk away from that because that's who they've become. They're born again in the kingdom of God, and they're not going to walk away from that kingdom. They got the new life of Christ. But the ones that are not putting that seed in their heart, and like Pat was saying, walking it out, letting that new image of Christ rule in their life and putting the old man to death, but still want to associate and call themselves Christians, they don't never really put Jesus in their hearts, that or the Jesus that they do have is not the Jesus of the Bible. And it very well could be this Antichrist mark that they've been putting in all this time that they thought was Jesus and it was not. It was another Jesus, another gospel. And so when the end time comes, they're going to walk in and take that mark because they don't have the true Jesus imprinted on their heart, or they never did in the first place. They always thought they, in the back of the head, they thought they are Christ-like until it came down for them, time for them to make a decision and whether they're going to run after the world or run after Jesus. And they set Jesus aside and run after the world because they want to save their lives. And so, I mean, that's going to be a time all of us are going to have to make that decision. And that's why we now is the time to keep digging into that word and getting close to God and finding out what it is inside you that holds you back, that might be something that you need to get out of your heart and out of your life. That's the Antichrist, because we've all come from an Antichrist or the worldly Babylonish background. And we have to push that out and get the newness of life in Christ in us. And abide in Christ and make sure that we're staying true to that call and that walk. And otherwise we too could falter and we don't want that to happen. So that's the biggest thing too. We got to examine ourselves and look what is that might make us stumble. And we don't want that to happen in our life. And because unfortunately, maybe for some of us, if we stumble, we're going to take others with us. You know, that's a terrible thing that might happen. So it's kind of a serious thing to consider and look over, because there is going to be a falling away, and we want to make sure what is it that makes them fall away, and we don't want to be part of that. That's what I see. I see that as kind of a something to take notice of and be fearful of God and be willing to have God show and expose things in our hearts that's not going to help us during those times.
Okay, that's good. Now, I do want to ask this question, and I'm going to be the advocate here. If I'm wanting to know what it looks like to have God imprint on me, what's that look like? I mean, what? How can I be assured of being in Christ's camp when this stuff breaks loose? There's one thing that we need to understand about being a Christian. Do you look like Christ? Do you have the nature, character, and will of Christ in your life? Are you bearing the fruit of Christ in your life? Well, what's the fruit? Looking like Jesus. And like Dave was talking about and Pat was talking about also, you have to look like Jesus. Well, how do we look like Jesus? And Dave hit on it. You must study the Word of God. And if you sit in, and I believe Dave talked about it also, but if you sit in an apostate church that's not given the truth, the true gospel, and you're just getting a part of it, then that's what you're going to be. If you're getting a whole word, that's who you're going to be. You're going to be like Christ. you don't have to worry about it. You just keep on trucking along, surrendering to Jesus, surrendering to the word, like the Lord told us to. He says that forehead, he's talking about the forehead, the mark of the forehead, is the mind of Christ. And the mark on the hand is the works of Christ. Are we doing the works of Christ? And that's my little input. If somebody else want to add on to that, go ahead. This is an open field. Yes, June.
Just on the note of what you were speaking about, what's been very disturbing to me is when I'm among people, they're more like acquaintances. And, you know, they're very friendly, down to earth, but they have this conception that they are saved because they know that the Lord came in human form and he died. And it's like the beginning and end of their story. And if I just give like a one-liner, they'll come right against me. Oh, no, no, he did it all. And I said, well, you're right about the fact that Jesus is Lord. That's all I could say, because you could tell they get like confrontational and you're not going to get anywhere. You know, you can't have a debate about it. But it's very disheartening to me, because I'm realizing more than ever, there's so many people who are in church and have that mentality.
Those people, a lot of those people, not all of them, a lot of those people are going to line up and take the mark because they have no faith to believe and trust in God that he would provide their everything that they need. But the reason for the tribulation is to bring those that love the Lord and don't know any better out of those apostate religions over to him. That's the nature of it. I know what you're talking about. I have the same thing happen to me. You know, you can quote verses till you're blue in the face and it makes no difference, you know. But it's the religious spirit that doesn't allow the word of God to come through. And that's exactly what it is. Go ahead, Julie.
I guess I would just add that the difference, or what a person would look like who has the, you know, who has the nature and character of Jesus, all that, is they're spirit filled. They're getting their interpretation and their understanding from the Word of God. And they love God. And they want to obey God, and they've overcome a lot of their flesh. You know, they may not be, you know, walking in perfect maturity yet, but they, you know, their desire is for the Lord. They're peaceable. They, you know, even though you may not agree on something, you wait, you listen, you're patient, and you want to agree with the word and what the word says. And those who, you know, the Bible's was saying in the, you know, I think it was in John, those who hear you, you know, they hear me. And if they hear me, they're hearing the voice of the Father. It's like they're being able to hear the voice of the Lord and agreeing with the word because God's teaching them, God's working in them. And so there's a difference from like what June was just saying. You know, because they're dead set on their doctrine or their religion or their what they think their faith is, as opposed to somebody who's just, you know, wants to be agreeing with the word and peaceable and not striving against anybody. But yeah, just they're bearing the fruit of Christ. They have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and they also are walking in the gifts. They're ministering the gifts too. That's all I would just add to that.
Amen. That's good. Yep. That's true. There's going to be people that'll be halfway through the tribulation, not even knowing they're in the tribulation. because it hadn't been raptured out yet. But there's going to be something that's going to come out. That's what this is for. Okay, anyone else want to talk about the mark of the beast? Yeah, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
I heard, I haven't really dived too deep into the hidden man. I really need to. I heard David say something that was amazing. It's another thing that blew my mind. Anyways, in John chapter 6, Jesus says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. And that's what you were saying earlier. Pretty much all y'all were saying, because and his word. And then, but what he was teaching this message of, what was it? Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And I guess a lot of the people just didn't.
You lost your audio. Sorry, man. Okay, you're back.
You get a refund. Anyways, so. So the, but that's what David said is John, this is the mark of the beast, John 6, chapter 6, verse 66, 666. And upon this, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. They forsook the, they quit eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And, even Jesus said in that, it is the spirit that giveth life, the flesh profiteth nothing. And then David pointed out again, Romans 6, verses 6, which is Romans is the sixth chapter of the New Testament. So again, it's 666. Remember, Jesus just said the flesh profits nothing. So in this verse of Romans 6, verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. So I didn't know that before until David talked about it, but that's a sign of mark of the beast right there alone. So that was pretty cool.
Amen. Amen. So, anybody else? Oh no, Julie. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else on the mark of the beast? Mark of the beast. Mark of God. Yes, Dave Nelson.
Forgive you for talking so much.
No, that's
one
okay.
of the things I noticed was and I'm not sure if this is kind of shines on the apostates. I kind of think it does a little bit, is their reluctance, for one, to talk about the end times at all. And if they do, they either don't know anything about it because they don't talk about it in their church. They're not going to talk to you about it because they feel very uncomfortable with it in the first place. And I can't say I'm totally comfortable with it either when I know about it, but I still look into it and study it because I want to know, I want to understand. But they don't have a base or a knowledge at all of the end times, any kind of truth behind it or any kind of anything that kind of bring them to truth of what the scripture has to say, what Jesus has said, what the book of Revelation, and all the way through the scriptures, we have our examples. They don't have that base in that background. So just not even realizing that this is happening or being mindful to watch for these times, which we're told to do, they're off doing something else. They would rather, distract and get away from that and just feel like, they've got their place with God, and and everything's good, and they're doing, you know, they're working out their salvation with their fear and trembling in their way, but they're not paying attention to what's going around them. They realize, oh, there's something else happening, or God's doing a work, and I got to pay attention to that. They're totally oblivious to it, you know. So that makes me, that brings me to understand that these people are not prepared in any way for the end times, because they're not getting prepared. They're not looking for these signs, and they're not being told what to look for one. And which makes me wonder about, because the first verse I got today was John 6:55, which I was good. Isaac brought up John, and John is great. And Jesus said, my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. So we know, if we're going to get that flesh, which is the word of God in our life, that flesh of Christ, we have to devour the word. And if we're going to get that blood, that nature of Jesus in us, we have to apply that word in our life and walk in it. And then we get that character, nature, character with the grace of God and authority eventually in our life also. So that we need to have that in us, that abiding life of Christ. And we know that's what Jesus is talking about. Where other Christians might just think, oh, he's just talking about communion. You know, what fellowship, yeah, we have communion and we agree that Christ died for our sins, and we believe that our sins are covered. But they don't have that newness of life. They're not realizing, hey, I've got to devour this and get this in me and be part of me. This is the life of Christ I need to have manifest in me. It's this fruit of Christ. You know, and they think they have it just by association, but they're not really getting it down deep inside of them, that where it's not going to be shaken when the time of the shaking comes. That's what I see with a lot of Christians today. Or they're told, you know, oh, we're not going to be part of this tribulation thing. We're going to be raptured out of here for that. You know, we don't have to worry about that. They're not even considering it because they think God wouldn't do that to us. So, anyways, that's kind of some thoughts, too, I have on this. Why this mark of the beast is going to be so dangerous for the Christians that aren't really, they don't have a clue what's going on or not paying attention, or they're thinking they're not going to be part of it.
Amen. Well, you know, even those people, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for people like June was talking about. Those people that won't listen to you, like family members and friends that we know that are in apostate religion. We need to be praying for them. If we pray for them, believe for them, they're going to come in. Go ahead, Vanita. I'll get right to you, Pat.
Yeah, what you just said is what I was gonna, similar to what I was gonna say. I just think about, you know, all of us are one, you know, one person individually that have come out of a church that had hundreds of people in it maybe, and none of them, it's just like, how is it that I can see it and none of those other people that I went to church with that are so educated and know the Bible so well, they can't see it? And how is it that I can see it and they can't? It just boggles my mind that, I don't know, he just opened, just the Holy Spirit worked it. Mm-hmm. He works in the people that he wants to work in to bring out the man child. And then we'll see through prayer for everybody else, they'll all come into it. But he's got his purpose for individuals to come out right now. I mean, I don't know how, like, why'd you choose me? You know, I don't know anything.
Amen. Well, that's Judy said it. The Lord has opened up your understanding. He chose you to have the understanding. He hadn't chosen him yet, but you pray for him, he'll get him in. Amen. Okay, go ahead, Pat.
I was just thinking that there's a basic misconception. I know when Dave was talking about, you know, the fear that the religious system has related to eschatology or the future events, etc. There's a real fear there, because under that fear is the sense that they wouldn't be able to hold up under that type of pressure. And they're absolutely correct. But they don't know how to deal with it, with the Jesus that they know. And so they just continue to bury their head in the sand, so to speak. But one of the things that was so enlightening to me when David was talking about basically that there are only two men in the earth. There's only two lives available on earth to live. And it fits the Christ or the Antichrist. And our life in Christ is only available by faith as we exchange our old life or our own personal life with the life that is in Jesus. And in that exchange is where we receive that life, that life, that faith, and I'm walking through and walking it out, basically. But it's that deception that I've stepped across the line, I've accepted Jesus, now I can continue to live my life and just do the best I can, because God knows that I can't really live the righteous life that he gave me in Christ. That's why he sent Jesus to live that life, so that now I can depend upon when I get ready to die and go to heaven, I just say, God, I just trusted in Jesus. Jesus is my key, and I got slapped the old trump card down on the table, and I'm in like Flynn. And there's that underlying mentality that's the way it's done, as opposed to there's only two lives available that can be lived. It's Jesus' life or it's my life. It's Jesus or it's mine. There's only two. Jesus' life, my life. My life ain't going to get me into heaven. Jesus' life is the path to heaven. And that it's that deception that I can still live my life, and somehow it's not an antichrist life. And that's, I think it's, to me, is kind of at the foundation of that whole deception in the apostate mentality. But anyway, that's all I have.
Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you, Chuck, for identifying yourself. I didn't realize that's who it was. I had never seen that Christ Alive ministry. All right, go ahead, Angelica.
Oh, yeah, I was actually just going to say some of the same stuff that Pat just mentioned about, you know, Jesus said in his word that, you know, he came to bring a sword. He didn't come to bring peace. And the word is very simply put, just to reiterate what everyone's already said, is that the word of God brings the division. It's the sword that creates the two men in the earth, you know, Christ and Antichrist, the two corporate bodies. And there's the two entities that, you know, any Christian has to watch out for, which is the secular false prophet, you know, the media and the, you know, all these programmings, you know, that they have and all the systems of man, you know, and the religious false prophet, you know what I mean? And so it's a mixture of these two, you know, that really destroy, you know, the people, you know, the people of God. But so, you know, and it's also, you know, just with these two entities, you know, like they were saying, it's the people are deceived into thinking that, you know, Jesus, you know, came to bring peace. And so they have this false peace, you know, the peace and safety that they, you know, the humanism that they're drawing people in with, and they can't discern between the real peace of God from within and amongst his people versus a false, you know, a false sense of peace that the world promises. And I just wanted to share just Luke 17:33, you know, whosoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And so it's the mark of the beast begins spiritually for every one of us. You know, are we willing to lose our life to gain our spiritual life, our eternal life in Christ? And they're not willing to do that. They're not willing to go to the cross. And that's where the test is. And that's why God's doing what he's doing too, because he loves these people. So many people are caught up in these, you know, false religions and false doctrines and false Jesuses and all that stuff, that God loves them. And he's going to bring them out and tribulate them so that they can have an opportunity to make that decision, you know. And for me personally, I don't talk about the mark of the beast with baby Christians. You know, I mean, I think probably our witness concerning other things are more beneficial, but you know, that's just me and my own, you know, for my own self. But so I just want to share that.
Okay. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Yes, we'd like to share.
I can't see nobody. Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. We were just talking about how much people are not willing to suffer. Like, you know, as you're saying, we were just talking about that. And you know how the scripture says to know him and to know the fellowship of his, you know, to know the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his sufferings, which is Philippians 2. I'm not sure exactly where it's in Philippians. But, you know, it's like, a lot of people, I've heard people say, well, you know, Jesus already suffered for me on the cross. I don't have to suffer anymore. So this can't be of Jesus. This can't, because I don't have to suffer anymore. I don't have to go through persecution because he did that. He did all that stuff. But if we're gonna follow him, we're going to go through those things. As much as our flesh doesn't like it, we're going to go through that. And then you had...
Well, I just want to share a vision the Lord gave me, a year ago, or something like that. In my bedroom, I was laying in my bed and looking up at my wall, and all of a sudden I saw this vivid vision. I saw Jesus on the cross, and he was up in the air. I was laying down in the bed, and he was all bloody, and his arms were bloody, and his face, and he had his arms, you know, out on the cross and tied up there, and his head was laid back. Then he raised it up and looked down at me and said, "Suffer with me," and then put his head back. And that was, you know, the vision. It was just so vivid. It was like, "Suffer with me." So that's what he's saying to all of us, you know.
Amen.
Yeah,
it's
a vision.
That was a good one. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Amen. All right. Anyone else? You had your hand up, Pat? Yes, you did. I saw it hand up there. Okay. All right. That must have been Andrew. Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, I was kind of wondering if people have to learn about eternal judgment. They have to learn about the fear of the Lord. And, what happens if you take the mark of the beast? You know, it's written right there in chapter 14, you know, and another third angel followed them, saying with a great voice, "If any worshipeth the beast and his image and receiveth the mark on his forehead or upon his hand. He also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, and mingled, unmixed in the cup of his anger. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goeth up unto the ages of the ages, and they have no rest. So this mark is a very wicked thing. And if you look at Hebrews, also in chapter 6, verse 3, it talks about eternal judgment. And the other items that you're supposed to study, and I believe this is these items are classified in 5 and 13 as being the milk of the word for inexperienced people that must be discussed. And one of these is eternal judgment. I don't know, it's been a long time since I've been to a regular church. How many of these preachers are actually preaching on the fear of the Lord, eternal judgment, to actually suffer for Christ? I noticed when I was studying Romans that in the first 5 chapters, wrath is mentioned, but the first, we're not appointed unto wrath, but you will get that wrath with that mark. And of course, I'll just say this 18th verse in, it comes right after the verses I'm sure a lot of people know about the gospel for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. 1:16 and 17. It's kind of a very familiar verse, but 18, they don't seem to want to read that one. For God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. So you don't want to run into one of those guys who are holding down the truth in unrighteousness. So this mark is associated with the wrath of God. And there is a verse way, because of 13, 16 in Revelation, which is where the mark is what we're discussing. But I would remind you that this kind of opened my eyes when I first heard David Eales mention Exodus 13, 16. And it shall, it's a practice that the Jewish people used to do physically. They still do it. I have a book somewhere around here where it actually shows the people who have this belt on their arm, and there's a little box that the belt's attached to it. And you can put scripture verses in there, and they actually put one around their forehead too. These Orthodox Jews still practice this, and it's because of this word right here. And it's Exodus 13, 16, the same as Revelation 13, 16. But of course, what they're doing physically here, we have to do spiritually. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought thee forth out of Egypt. So what they're saying here is this token that's upon their hand and for frontlets between their eyes, which would be your forehead, is a practice that they used to do. They actually read this verse and actually put this band around their hand and a little box, and they would put probably their favorite scripture verses in there so that this hand is not allowed to go against these verses. And this mind is not allowed to go for against these verses. But if you put a mark in a person's mind to take the mark, then they'll do it physically. So if there's this physical mark coming in the future for buying and selling, all you got to do is trick them. And that's what the 15th verse is talking about in Revelation 15, because he's going to actually give spirit to the words the people are speaking. And that's the false spirit. Because all you got to do is flip the page, turn to 14. Because every word has a spirit behind it. Every word you hear, you read, you speak, or even the words that pop into your head, you know, the temptation that pops into your head, you don't want that word, but the Lord promises you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. And he's going to teach you all things and remind you all things. So he's going to remind you of everything that you've learned. But if it's not of the Holy Spirit, then you have to revert to those words in 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits to see whether they're of God. And of course, you know, there's the other one that's right there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, the first verse has to do with your Jesus Christ in you, and then Jesus Christ coming for you. And then he says, now we beseech ye, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He's saying our, you know, it's an important verse, the apostle and the newest birthed Christian there, that ye need not be soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter. So they've got all that written down. They speak it. They've done. They're just putting spirit to this word now. And actually they're trying to formulate fear in people. They've already formulated slander in most of the people through, I'm not even American. There's a lot of people who don't like Donald Trump even still today. And they like to slander him. And what they don't understand is this is just a spirit of slander. You almost have to prefix each word and put spirit in front of it and say it's the spirit of God. Just like I mentioned, where it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, or down that the sixth verse, it says spirit of truth and spirit of error. So if I was to describe to you the difference between error and spirit of error, I'd probably very simply say to you, let's say a person's learning addition, grade one, and the teacher puts 2 + 3 on the board and puts equals, and has the student who has a spirit of error answer this, not just error. He goes up and he puts 4, and she goes, well, how'd you get to that answer? 2, 3, 4. Come on, lady, how come you don't see it, you know? And then she says, okay, put 2 X's underneath, and you put 2 under the 2 and 3 under the 3. Okay, how many X's? And then the child who has a spirit of error there is going to put 4 X's. What are you, dumb, miss? obviously, you don't think there's anyone in grade one who has a spirit of error for addition, but, you know, He would probably throw in, just wait till I get bigger. I'm going to come here and do something really bad to you. You know, because he's got the spirit of error. And he says, my dad will come over and do the same thing because that's where I got it. You know, so, or my mom, you know, there are various moms, you know. But, you know, if you want to do the flip side on the spirit of truth, you know, I'm out of parables for today, though. But you'll have to think about that one yourself, because there's a difference between spirit of error and error. Because, you know, it's obvious after he put the X's, he would have got it. He would have counted the X's and put 5. And then he would say, does it work like this for all of them? Sure, sit down now and try 3 + 4 and don't put 5. Anyway, so, yeah, so it's a person who has been pre-told what he, how to answer the question. And that's what they do. They pre-tell you, but also there's a slander that comes in. If people pick up that slander, it's a lifestyle of the opposite bloodline. You have a spiritual bloodline, and there's a wine that's a mocker, for instance, in the Proverbs. And you know, if you take a glass of wine and put it up to your ear, it's not going to mock you. But what does that mean? You know, there's a wine is an emblem of a lifestyle, and because it's the emblem of the blood of Christ, and this mockery is what they did to Jesus while he was dying on the cross over the physical temple. I think they were mocking him about that. They said, you who would say you could destroy this temple in 3 days, come down from the cross, you know? So they have a different viewpoint. They have the letter of the word, not the spirit. So that's the main thing from the churches, you know, like many other things, you know, like when they want to take the offerings into the storehouse, we're the temple of the Lord. You know, it's not talking about 10% here of tithing. And if we're the temple of the Lord, we're the one who has to be given gold in our temple, then I counsel thee to buy gold refined in the fire, you know, as it says in the Laodicean church. And they're rusty Christians. That's what it, you know, they need to be refined, and hopefully this tribulation in the future will refine them. It all depends on who they're under. Because, you know, everywhere you go and look up that word wrath, it's no fun. And you know, just because I'm in 1 Corinthians now, and they don't speak the same. There is division. And they don't have the same mind, and they don't have the same judgment, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And they only had 4 divisions there, and you got 11,000 for every one there now. So this is the state. This is why God's going to do this in the end. Took an apostle to switch 4 divisions to hopefully take them all to be in one mind here. But it's going to take God to take all these denominations and call out his people into his church again. 30, 60, and 100 fold. This mark, you know, it's was described to be as a notary stamp. And since I'm in the printing industry, you can also call it a printing plate, and it's producing on one press, the printing plate or notary stamp would be Christ. And on the other press, on the left hand, it's not going to be Christ. It's going to be Antichrist. And that's who they're going to get marked with. It's simple. You know, I believe he used the Greek word karagma for that mark, and he said it was like a notary stamp. I remember, like he spoke yesterday about it. So it's a difficult thing. It's a prayerful thing that we have to pray for these people, because you know lots of these people. You like listening to the music, the worship and praise music that they sing. And many of those people might be not sure, you know, and if you know, sometimes you can think a lot of these people for a very long time, not just your loved ones, but actual brethren too. And you're supposed to love the brethren. And yeah, you can really be hurt quite a bit in your heart to have a heart for the lost. And so you can identify with the Lord and God the Father himself. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. That's good. Chuck, did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about, like, people, like, you know, the people who will probably end up taking the mark, you know, already sort of having that spiritual mark anyway of Antichrist, because their heart has, you know, if they were Christian in the first place, but their heart has shifted from their first love and gone after, you know, the things of the flesh and things like that. But obviously the world is already after the things of the flesh. But I was thinking about what it said in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming?" And, you know, and that whole idea, like, you know, even some people today, they don't seem to be able to discern the times that we're in. And, you know, even with, like, the whole, like, you know, whole quote-unquote pandemic and all of that that went on, and, you know, the different things, some people would just still have this weird mindset that, like, you know, I just think that is so far off. But I think a lot of this stuff is such a clear precursor to, like, what's really coming. And I think it's coming, it seems very speedily. But I also think about, like, things Jesus said about, like, you know, as in the days of Lot or as in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and they were getting married and all these things as if nothing was going on. Like, you know, they were just given to their own, you know, pleasures and leisures and, you know, chasing after riches and things like that. Sort of like, you know, let's say somebody did hear the word and that word began getting choked out by the cares of this world, you know, so they didn't become mature at all. And it would cause them to, you know, go after whatever is more convenient for their flesh, which, you know, something like what the mark of the beast or, you know, these things that are coming may offer will sound like salvation to them, you know. And they'll be unaware because a lot of these people leaving their first love, they aren't doers of the word, so they become hearers of the word only and become deceived, you know. And I believe in, like what it talks about, like a strong delusion, because they did not love the truth. They believed the lie and loved not the truth, you know. So a lot of these people who are just, like, unaware and sort of on this, like, autopilot living, you know, and some of these people, like, still claim that they're Christians and they serve God. They go to church on Sundays and maybe Wednesday too, but, you know, you see it all, like, within their character a lot of the time, you know, where they really are, some of these people. And I believe they can repent, you know. Even, like, in Revelation, God gave Jezebel faith to repent, you know. And I think that, as in the same chapter of 2 Peter 3, you know, he's long-suffering. He's not flat concerning his promises that some count slackness, but, you know, he's just not willing that we would perish, but that we would all come to repentance, so that we would, you know, have everlasting life. But anyway, that was just some of my thoughts.
Amen. Thank you, Chuck. That's good. All right. Anyone else? Well, Chuck mentioned 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to mention 2 Peter chapter 2. And David expounds on that a little bit. And I'll just read it right out of the Word. He said, "The false teachers and false prophets bring the unsteadfast saints back into this corruption of the image of the earthly." 2 Peter 2:1. "But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2, and many shall follow their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Then he jumps up to 15. Forsaking the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. Then up to 18. For uttering great swelling words of vanity, they entice in the lust of the flesh by lasciviousness those who are just escaping from them that live in error, promising them liberty, while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he also brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. In 21, for it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Through their traditions of men and false doctrines, David says, they lead the apostates to walk after the mind of the flesh in the world system of the beast. They become the image of the beast. If we allow the false prophets to identify the mark and image of the beast for us, we're not going to recognize these when they come. The Pharisees and Sadducees could not identify the true image of God, Jesus Christ, nor the image of his body after him. Neither can their modern day seed. And David talks about in this particular chapter right here, he talks about Baptists begat Baptists, Church of Christ begat Church of Christ, Nazarenes begat Nazarenes. And what I'm saying is, you get hung up in a church and you take on the nature of the teachings coming out of that church. And if it's all of us, I believe everybody here, most everybody, has come out of an apostate religion that gave, and we thought at the time we had it until we found out, hey, they're not teaching what's in the Word of God. And then we, because God had put it in us, went on to the next level. And then we found out that level wasn't teaching the Word of God. And so here we are. And that's what we're seeing now with all, I forget how many different, you know how many different denominations there are? It's over 40,000 denominations. 40,000. Is there division in the church? Well, I guess so. And it's all because of faction rather than the love of Christ. All right, go ahead there, Malcolm. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand up, brother.
Well, it's okay. I was quite a ways from the phone. The phone's quite a ways from the house. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think I'm at the end of the range of this phone system. It's been raking. I was just thinking about, was it Matthew before that was talking? Or Andrew? Anyway, I think it was Andrew. But I'm sorry if I forgot. Anyway, talking about the different denominations and whatnot, and something I wanted to say, I think we all have tried to deal with this, and that is I need to be careful not to push open doors, because I think a lot of us see that the walls are about to come down, and the Lord's going to do something great that's going to, you know, somehow get the attention of his true people in these different denominations. And, of course, we see that coming, and I want to just push down the walls and go get them, you know. So, anyway, I think, it's the better part of wisdom to let the Lord lead, and I want to be led by the walking by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. And not just go with what I intellectually understand. And Michael, do you mind if I share a dream? I think I've shared probably a few dreams on the conference call here, but one that I had early on when I was trying to decide what to do with my membership and nomination. I was on there's kind of two parts to the dream, but the first part was our whole family was on a barge, or actually on a kind of a ship or boat of some kind. We had a tent with all of our belongings in there. Now the second part of the dream was I was on a barge by myself. I was at the tail end of the barge on the left hand side at the back. The barge was moving in water. I don't know if it was salt water or just fresh, I guess it doesn't matter, but the coast was it was pretty calm. Water was calm. But the coast over to the right, quite a ways, it was swimming distance. I mean, I could have, you know, if I kept swimming, I could have made it. But anyway, it was quite a ways out there. So when you decide to swim that far, you need to commit to something, you know. So the strange thing about this barge is everything was totally quiet, totally silent. And the barge was moving along, being propelled by some force that made no noise. And it was, in the dream, it was really eerie. And I finally realized, well, first of all, let me just, what started happening was the barge started losing altitude, you might say, if you're in the air. It started dropping down into the water and getting lower and lower to the point where water was coming over the top of the barge. But in the dream, I realized that the barge was being propelled by demonic forces. And it was a supernatural moving, and it just wasn't a good situation. Before I continue in the dream, let me just say the denomination I was in, there's a kind of a saying, the ship will go through. Have you heard that before? The ship will go through, meaning the denomination will go all the way through to the end till Jesus comes. And, you know, in other words, if you want to be saved, you need to stick with us. So I entitled this dream, The Ship Will Go Through, because of the way it ends. So anyway, this barge, as it was going lower and lower in the water, being drawn by something, it was being drawn to a point down under the water, quite way, way, way down, very deep. But in my dream, it was like a grotto down there with yellow, kind of a yellow smoky look. And it reminded me very strongly of pictures of hell I've seen. And there were evil figures down there. And what I realized was happening is these demons that were propelling this barge I was on were bringing it down to this grotto down under the water. And so it got deeper and deeper. I mean, the barge I was on got lower and lower to the point where all I had above the water was... Michael, did I share this one already?
You're muted. I'm gonna say yeah.
Really?
No, I don't know. I don't know if you have or not. But hurry up if you're going to do it.
Maybe it was 10 years ago. Yeah, I might as well finish it. Okay, so how long has this conference call been going anyway? So it finally got up to the point where the water was up to my neck, and I realized I was going to have to make a very quick decision, because if I was going to hold on to the barge, that was kind of my last security, and I was going to go down to this place that looked like hell to me with demons in it. And so at the very end, I thought, shall I drop, let go of the barge and just swim over to the shore? Or should I hold on to the barge? Which one shall I do? And that's when I woke up. So that's the end of the dream. And so my conclusion, the kind of the hidden because of the title I put on the dream, the ship will go through, it'll go shoot through all right, but not to a place I want to go to. Are you looking for the mute button? You need the unmute button.
No, I'm waiting on you.
Well, okay, I'm done.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
So whatever you want to draw from that, for me, I decided to drop my membership. So draw okay, my membership, buddy. and swim to shore.
Amen.
To the right side.
Thank you, Lord. It's time to abandon ship.
That ship.
Yep. Amen. All right, anyone else? Does anybody else got something they'd like to talk about as far as the mark? I will say this much. I have seen and heard coming out of their mouth leaders of a certain denomination on television saying that you can take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. And I'm talking about a man who has written many books. Both of them have written many books. And it's just heartbreaking, you know, because they're leading a lot of people down the path of destruction. And I won't mention John MacArthur's name at all, because it's this egregious thing that they're doing. Egregious thing. Anyway, he's got thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of followers, you know. And that's where we are. And the reason that I say that is because he does have a lot of followers, and they believe that this man has got the word of God in him. And other men too. Go ahead, Pat.
I think he has, he's fallen the way of most leaders who have taken up the garb of the apostate Nicolaitan error. And I experienced a little bit of that, the concept, when I was in that Christian community, because the founder of that work really had a work of God done in his heart. The Lord really gave him the truth of take no thought for your life, but trust God in everything that you have and cast your all on him type of thing. And he had a lot of, God did a lot of personal work in his heart and in his life. And he was living off of that principle, that spirit, that truth that he had learned, and went out, and brought in, God brought in a bunch of young people and whatever, and there was a whole community coming together under his teaching and everything. It's really quite a marvelous work, but it deteriorated into because of some of the things that he thought and he taught. The group itself took on its own community mindset, and they took on a mentality that the group consensus even took precedence over the word of God. But of course, they didn't put it that way. How they sensed it, treated it was that the God speaks through his people and creates that group consensus, and that becomes the guiding, leading factor in all decisions that we make, etc. And of course, some of us that came into that process realized the times when that conflicted very directly with God's truth, with his word. And of course, that was kind of the beginning of the end, so shall we say, for me, in that I had to kind of, work my way out of that process. And eventually, I have to say, eventually within a couple, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe, that whole system, which was built up and very beautiful and again, and God did a lot of things through that group there for a while, but it deteriorated because it wasn't founded upon his word. It deteriorated, it dissipated, and that whole structure and property became an albatross. Why in the world did I say that? Oh, here's the point was that the leader became he became isolated from the needs of the people, and the group more or less took over those needs and isolated him from the lack or the threat or the need of that whole organization. And it isolated him from feeling that, and he wasn't able to respond to those needs through God's Spirit to make the necessary course corrections in the people that were around him. And so in one sense, they isolated him, put him up on a pedestal type of thing, and it isolated him from the Spirit of God functioning in the people and in the group. And he didn't have a clear vision of how to lead the group. He was kind of off wheeling by himself. And that's what a lot of these leaders in the apostate system are doing. They've created their own little isolated kingdom for themselves, and now you got a whole beast that is functioning under them that they are completely out of tune with. Anyway, that was just kind of my experience.
Go ahead, Dave.
I know we're running quick on time. David did mention this, and I thought that was something else to consider and maybe try to understand a little bit. You know how we've heard that this COVID shot, some of the nursing homes, older people were forced to take the shot. They just went and gave it to them anyways, right? Now, that's a lot of older people were dying, you know, after they received the shot, and they weren't even given an option. I mean, that he brought up the point that also might happen with this mark of the beast. There's some people might not even be given a choice. They're going to be given the mark. They're forcibly given the mark. And so we're at this point where, well, they got the mark. They didn't maybe want to get the mark, but they got the mark. And David says, well, do everything. I remember I was reading, I thought in Hidden Man, he says, do whatever you can to get the mark off you, you know, whatever it is, cut it off. Or I like to know maybe, I don't know if there's a definitive answer how we can talk about that. I don't know. because if you didn't want to get the mark, but they forced you to get it, you were forced, you know, they just did it to you anyway.
Well, did you go ahead and read what Dave said about it?
You made it sound like cut it off, do whatever you can to get it off you, you know.
I think what he said was your faith will bring you through that because right. You were forced to do it. You were forced to do it, and you could pray against, you can neutralize that thing.
I would think that would be it. I would think we would have that. The Lord's, you know, not, you know.
Yeah, that's what David said. So if you're all forced to it and you don't want to take it, you tell them you don't want to take it, you're not going to take it. And they hold you down and give it to you. Your faith will keep carry you through on that. Because you're not in agreement with them. Okay. Anyone else before we close out?
He did once say other thing. It's not only just taking a mark, but it's worshiping the beast also. There's the two together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's see here. What do y'all want to go over Thursday night? Somebody got something in mind? We got just a minute or two. Anybody got something on their mind that they'd like to cuss and discuss?
Maybe we can continue on a little bit with we're knowing that the mark of the beast is going to be the big falling point for many. But now we want to push forward and continue on and knowing about being born again and abiding in Christ and being able to do that walk. That so we're not going to stumble and be not that we're anybody here would, but we're going to start staying on that right path. Want to make sure what we're doing, the things we're supposed to be doing. I know we talk a lot about that anyways, but I don't know if anybody's interested or not.
Yeah, that'll be fine. We can also talk about the two witnesses. We can talk about the, you know, a lot of things like that. There's all kinds of stuff in there that we can talk about. So just bring it up and we'll talk about it. The falling away. Yeah. Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for another fine night of studying the word and getting in the word and people coming up and sharing, Lord, that's awesome. That's what it's all about. So any one of us have all the answers, but all of us together have got more than just one of us. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to lead us by your Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that you fill us up with your Holy Spirit in order for us to be led by your Spirit. And I praise you for doing that for us, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we got our eyes on you and not on man. And we thank you, Father, that our prayers have been answered tonight. And we thank you for all the new people coming in tonight. Chuck and Winnie and Carol and anybody else that's new. And glad to see Paula with us tonight. And y'all be blessed. Thank you. God bless you. Amen.